Hey, yo, what's up? This is Funky Sam Medina, stand-up comedy of the Bay Area, California, and you are tuned in to the number one podcast in the world, Pro Wrestling Nation, with Funky Sam Medina. Boom! Action-packed, phenomenal episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am live in the studio. I'm back from Vegas. I had such a good time, you guys. I lost a lot of money, but I had a good time. So I guess that's all that matters. My friend's a bartender out there, and he runs the bar on the graveyard shift. So we went over there, me and my cousin, my girlfriend, and well-known comic. You guys don't know who well-known comic is, but we went out there and we drank with that fool till 5 o'clock in the morning. And it turns out he's a huge wrestling fan. He used to wrestle back in the day in the Bay Area, and he knows all the wrestling people out there in Vegas. So it was a good time. We got to talk. We got to find out a bunch of cool stuff. And hopefully I'll have him on very soon, and we could talk some wrestling on the podcast. Pro Wrestling Nation with Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and excited to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news, results, and you never know who is going to stop by the studio. You can find Pro Wrestling Nation every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn app, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, Gerwick.net. That's GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling since 1997. I am back from Vegas. I had such a good time. Oh man, I got stuff to tell you, man. Not really. Nothing that exciting happened. But I do want to get into a little bit of it, and I do want to get into WWE Roadblock, even though I was in Vegas when it happened and I wasn't able to watch the entire thing live. I got to watch it at the airport, though. Thank you to airline delays, because our flight coming home was delayed like 2 hours. First, our flight going to Vegas was delayed like 3 or 4 hours. We had to sit in the airport, and I was tired because of our graveyard, and it was all bad. I almost missed my flight because I went somewhere and I went to sleep for a while in the airport, and then I woke up. My family was gone. I'm like, where did everybody go? And then I had to find them, and it was just a huge mess. But then the flight was delayed coming home, so I got to sit in the Las Vegas airport and I got to watch WWE Roadblock on my cousin's iPad. I watch it with no volume, but like, isn't it better that way? You know, it's debatable whether it's better with no volume. But I do want to get into Roadblock. My guest this week, he's a YouTube sensation. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Stevie Breach. And I met Mr. Stevie Breach at a BTW WrestleFest a few years back. Years ago, man. I've known this guy for a long time now. We're pretty good friends, though. We chat wrestling every now and then. You know, we chat online and stuff. Talk professional wrestling. Who doesn't, though, right? You know, it's funny. I can't even talk right now. It's funny because the way that the BTW WrestleFest... goodbye music. Right about... whatever. It always trip out when the music ends. It's like, it always throws me off my game. And so now I'm like, I'm here getting ready to end. And I'm just like, maybe I should stop talking now. Maybe that should be the end of the podcast. Anyways, so a few years ago, WrestleFest. And what happens, see, it just tripped me out right now. It just like made me lose my train of thought. Anyways, WrestleFest, a few years ago, BTW WrestleFest. What they do is they have a convention, right? And the convention's from like 9 or 10 a.m. until 3, I want to say. 3 or 4. Probably a little bit later than that, probably like 5. And then, no, probably like 3 or 4, because there's like a few hours in between. And then, like 7 o'clock, the doors open for the show. Same place, same venue, but they set for the show. They set it up, so you know everybody has to leave for a couple hours, and then you have to go outside and you have to do whatever, get in line. Well, luckily for me, near the Newark High School is where they have it, Newark, California. There is a mall within walking distance. So my girlfriend, my cousin, and I, we walked down to the mall. You know, we had lunch and we hung out and we talked about WrestleFest and whatnot, and so we go back. We go back like what, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before the doors open, and we're just standing there. And there's a group of guys right in front of us, just talking wrestling. And somehow I get into the conversation. My cousin gets in the conversation, and it's just, it's crazy, man. It's because the one of those guys happens to be Mr. Stevie Breach, and we've been friends ever since. That's what the power of being a wrestling fan is like. You know, you meet people at these wrestling shows and they become your lifelong friends. It's weird. It's weird how it works out. But anyways, Stevie Breach is a YouTube sensation. He has videos on YouTube. He gets a lot of views. He makes a lot of videos. He gets a lot of views. And he is a WrestleMania maniac. He goes to WrestleMania every single year. We get into that. That's why I had him on, because it's almost WrestleMania time. I had him on last year, right before WrestleMania. I'm having him on this year, right before WrestleMania. And we just talk about the experience, and the conversation just kind of takes on a life of its own. Our whole objective today was to talk the WrestleMania experience, and you know, we go everywhere. We can talk about the different WrestleManias. We talk about our favorite WrestleMania moments. We talk about WrestleMania 31 here in my hometown of the Bay Area. We talked about matches that are going to happen at WrestleMania. We talked about things that didn't even happen, the things that don't even matter for WrestleMania. We talked about WrestleFests. We talked about all kinds of stuff, all kinds of fun stuff. It's a good time. Stevie Breach is here on the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on YouTube. You can follow him on Instagram. You can follow him on Facebook. You can follow him on Tinder. Oh, don't tell his wife. All this stuff, all everything, any social media that he has. Stevie Breach, go check him out. I don't think he's on Tinder though. I actually like looked him up. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I'm excited to get into that. I'm gonna get into that real quick. I'm gonna take you to the conversation that I had with one Mr. Stevie Breach, and then I'm gonna come back and I guess a few things about Vegas. What if I can think of anything exciting, and then I'm gonna talk about Roadblock, and then I'm gonna call it a day because I need to get the heck out of here. It's already, oh man, it's right 9:17. I need to get out of here in like half an hour. Okay, you guys, thank you. I will see you at the end of this conversation with Mr. Stevie Breach. Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast this week. I wanted to bring you Big Stevie Cool, but I couldn't get Stevie Richards, so I found the next best thing. This guy is my personal friend. I met him at an indie show, and we've been kicking it, hanging out at wrestling shows ever since. Ladies and gentlemen, get up for YouTube sensation Stevie Breach. How you doing, Stevie?
Oh man, I'm having so much fun. That's possibly the best intro I've ever received.
Awesome, dude. I'm glad that you said that.
I'm ready to have a ton of fun.
Me too, man. So you're in California, right? Just like me, you're in Sacramento?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in Sacramento, but
Yeah.
How's things over there?
It's been really nice. We have a lot of fun here. I wish that we'd get a wrestling show over here sooner than later.
Oh, I know, right? Don't they have like Sacramento Pro Wrestling or something?
Yeah, but like honestly, for me, I need even a small all big name to entice me. Most of the time I drive out to see BTW, when they have a big name out there. That's the most popular indie around here that I know of.
Yeah, that's when we met, BTW WrestleFest, like 2 years ago or something.
No, I think it's even been longer.
Like three. I think it's been like 3 years ago, yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
Crazy.
Oh,
crazy,
man, yeah. They didn't do the WrestleFest this year, but hopefully they'll bring it back next year, because that thing's always really, really big. But I'm sure so many people in that area went to WrestleMania that they were pretty smart not to do it, because it might not have had not as many people there.
They had a mini WrestleFest. It was like Shawn Michaels was there, and I think you didn't get to meet him, but you got to submit merchandise for autographs or something like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I know they had Shawn Michaels this past WrestleMania season. But yeah, you're right, though. With WrestleCon and WrestleMania Access and all that stuff right around the corner, like, it would have hurt their business if they would have put on a WrestleFest this year.
Oh, yeah.
Last year. Oh, man. So WWE never goes to Sacramento?
No, they come here. It's just been a while since they've been here. I mean, I don't think I've been to a show in months. I think that we went around like sometime in the summer. I had to drive to Stockton to see it. It was only a house show, but I'm not 100% sure.
Wow, no more Arco Arena, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, the new arena is going to open up next year for the Kings. So I think that's somewhere around October they're going to be going, and hopefully we can bring in a pay-per-view to good old Sacramento, because it's been a long time since 2009 that we got a really big show.
If it's a new arena, I'm sure they'll be there with the pay-per-view.
Oh, come on. Bring it on.
It'll probably be a glorified house show, like Roadblock.
Well, I mean, San Francisco is going to be getting the new Warriors Arena soon, too, so I'm sure we're going to...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're going to be battling them. For big shows.
Wow. Well, hey, you know what? You guys got that stadium. San Francisco got the new stadium. We have Levi Stadium. So, I mean, yeah, we're the only ones who have a stadium. So.
Oh, man, that place is really nice. I was kind of embarrassed being a wrestling fan. I'm sorry, being a 49er fan. The first time going there was for WrestleMania, but tickets for Niner games are through the roof.
Oh, yeah, my first time going there was WrestleMania 2. Let's get into that, but first let's get into a little bit of what you do. Tell us about your YouTube stuff.
Basically, I just am a guy who likes professional wrestling. I'll go even farther. I love professional wrestling. I love to talk about it. I just don't have any real people in my life to talk wrestling with. And, you know, it was always, sort of annoying. I would talk to my wife about what just happened on Raw, and she would have this blank stare. And I found out on YouTube that people made videos talking about wrestling, giving their thoughts about, you know, what was going on. And I kept watching these videos like, I can do this. And basically I get on there and I talk about, you know, rumors that are going on. I talk about matches that are coming up, big pay-per-views, you know, give my thoughts on what happened on Raw, or give my thoughts on where it's going. And it's just a good way for me to release, you know, the things that I get built up in my brain watching wrestling all the time.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Didn't you recently have a celebrity, like a basketball player, tweet you and say that his son watches your stuff?
That was beyond.
I saw that on Facebook.
I was beyond crazy. That's possibly the biggest markout moment I've ever had from social media. Basically, one of the local radio hosts was tweeting with Latrell Sprewell, who formerly played for the Warriors, the Timberwolves, and the Knicks. He's been out of the league for quite some time now, but he's pretty famous because he choked his coach.
That's the guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. And so basically I just followed Latrell Sprewell because I was like, he'll probably say something cool and I want to see it. And I follow a lot of people, but I mean, it just makes the timeline a little bit better. And immediately after I pressed the follow button, I got a tweet back. I know who you are. My son watches your videos. And I was like, what the heck? Like, you gotta be kidding me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was hysterically laughing. Like, there's no way in the world that the world is way too small, for something like this to happen.
That's crazy. That's mad crazy. I bet that was like a crazy, like, you're just like, wow, I've been doing this for all this time, and like, this is an amazing moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's still crazy to me. I go to WrestleMania, and I go to, like, just shows all over, and somebody will will always be like, hey, I watch your videos. And I'm in such shock because, I mean, when I started making these videos, I honestly didn't really think anybody was going to watch them. I just thought it was just going to be me rambling on about my thoughts about, you know, WWE and things like that. I didn't really think that people were going to continually come back and watch them. Because I upload.
That's how I feel. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it because I upload a lot of videos. I'm surprised that somebody gives me that much time of their day to actually watch my stuff.
Yeah, there's so many videos on YouTube, and for somebody to choose yours, it's pretty amazing. I felt the same way about the podcast. You know, it's like, I can't believe people listen to this. I just did it, you know, I just started it because I wanted a creative outlet, and there it is, and then here I am, you know, a couple years later.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I mean, your podcast rolls on my iPod. All this, oh, my iPod just died. I have to find a new way to start listening to podcasts. But, yeah, I mean, I tweeted you the other day about your interview. It was really really good last week. Was that last week or the week before when you had
Keith
Lee on? Yeah, that was the
yeah, that was
show.
Last week. I uploaded it right before I went to Vegas.
Oh, man, that must have been a fun trip.
Oh, it was amazing. It was definitely amazing. It was definitely amazing. How long have you been doing the YouTube stuff?
I started roughly right after I went to WrestleMania 26. So that was 2010 or 2011, somewhere in there.
Okay. So 4 or 5 years or so?
Yeah.
Wow. And I know you get, like, thousands of, like, hits. You, off the top of your head, roughly, like, what's one of the highest amount of hits you have?
Oh, man. I don't know. Well, honestly, I think the most popular video I have on my YouTube channel is actually my kids opening their Christmas presents from a few years ago, which my friends...
Unboxing video.
My friends love to make fun of me for it because they're like, your kids are more over than you are. And, hey, whatever works, whatever brings them in. But, I don't know. I mean, everything sort of fluctuates. Sometimes I make a video and I think that it's going to be really, really big and it's really good and nobody watches it. And sometimes I put up a really crappy video and it goes through the roof. So, I don't know. I'm just always really humble that, somebody would want to watch it. So it means the world to me.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I've seen pictures and stuff of your kids on Facebook, and if you were as adorable as they were, then you'd probably get that many hits, too.
I wish, man. I wish.
Oh, man. So how many WrestleManias have you gone to now?
This will be my sixth. I started going at 26, actually, because I won a contest, and I haven't stopped going since. I didn't go to 26. I think New York scared me a little bit about how big and how expensive it would be, and it was like some stuff was in New York, some stuff was in New Jersey, and I was just like, you know, forget this, I'll go next year. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to stop. I mean, as long as I have my friends that go with me, I'll go to WrestleMania 50 if they want to go, because that's probably the biggest part. It's just it's probably why people like to go to Comic-Con, because, like, you know, it's wrestling isn't the most popular thing in the world. I mean, like I say, I don't have anybody at my work or anybody in my normal life talk wrestling. But when you go to WrestleMania, you either go to a WWE show or you go to Access, you go to WrestleCon, you're surrounded by nothing but wrestling fans. And you can literally waiting in line, just talk to somebody. You don't know their name. You don't know where they're from. But you're on like an even playing field that you guys are just, you instantly become best friends. Like you just, like you see them a shirt of like Roman Reigns and you just like, you can either trash talk him because you hate him or he was awesome. You hope he wins tonight and you can end up having a 10-minute conversation and you don't even know you're talking.
This is breaking up pretty bad here. Yeah. No, it's okay. I got up to the part where you said you can meet somebody in line. And it's funny because that's how I met you on a smaller scale. It was WrestleFest, BTW, and I was in line right behind you, and we just started talking.
Oh, I mean, like, sometimes you go to these shows, you either want to get there early because you got, like, a general admission ticket, and you want to make sure you get a good seat. So, I mean, sometimes you might get to a show an hour and a half, 2 hours early, and you just got nothing but time to kill. And, I mean, if you sit there and you talk wrestling, you know, an hour, hour and a half can fly by, and you don't even realize it because you're so into what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you just fly all over the country, you know, you fly all these different WrestleManias. What was it like to be able to just drive down California?
Oh my gosh, it was a little weird.
I guess drive up California.
Yeah, but it was a little weird because I didn't get to go on a plane. I didn't really get to go anywhere that I had never been before, and that's kind of exciting, like going to a city like Miami or New Orleans. But you know, being able just to drive a car, you know, I saved a lot of money on not having to fly. But it just was kind of weird to go somewhere I'd been before and didn't have a special feeling about the trip.
Yeah, it was amazing for me because I live here,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to just like roll out of bed and just go to my different events. You know, my cousin comes pick me up. We go to WrestleMania. It's so easy. It's so amazing. I'm not going to Dallas. I wish I was, but I just went to Vegas and I just can't afford to go to Dallas. Oh.
I thought that, I don't know what to call it. San Jose, Santa Clara, whatever it was. I thought they were a pretty good host. I mean, everything, was remotely close. Everything was really easy to get to on the light rail deal. The only thing we really had to travel for was Ring of Honor and, I had my doubts, but they really showed that they're a really nice city over there.
Yeah, Ring of Honor was about 30 minutes away in Palo Alto, or no, Redwood City.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to that. One of my best friends went to that, though. He had a really good time. He got to see Samoa Joe in action and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was a good show, but I think everybody there wanted to be at the NXT show.
That's where I was. So what did you do? Like, you came to town, and where did you stay?
I don't remember. whatever the WrestleCon hotel was last year. I'm not
okay.
sure if it was
possible. Okay, some of the Airport Garden Hotel.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that for sure. At the time I worked about 2 miles from Levi's Stadium.
Oh man.
Yeah, but I was on vacation that week. I was on vacation. Trust me. I did not want to go to work that week.
Oh, there's too much to do.
Hey, but we had I used to work at this hotel called the Biltmore. It's right off 101 and Montague Expressway. And we have like these ballrooms, right? We have like a ballroom and a bunch of meeting rooms and stuff. And one of the rooms before I went on vacation, it said reserved WWE Make-A-Wish dinner.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, wow, you know, but I'm not going to be there because I'm not working. And I had no business to be there because I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But some of my coworkers told me that what happened was they had a bunch of Make-A-Wish kids and they had a bunch of wrestlers. Sheamus was there. Who was there? I don't remember exactly, but like I think Randy Orton no-showed, but Cena was there. I think the Bellas were there, and I think Daniel Bryan was there.
Oh.
And it was just like they came to the hotel. And they just sat down and they had dinner with these kids and the families.
Oh, that's really cool. When I went to SummerSlam a few years ago, the year that it was Stephanie McMahon against Brie Bella, somehow I got these tickets. And they were really, really nice tickets. And they were on the floor. But the whole section was Make-A-Wish families. And they all were wearing like Make-A-Wish shirts. And all the kids were wearing Brie Mode shirts. And they came out of like a reception backstage, and like I'm not talking about it was like 10, I'm talking about like it was at least 100. I felt weird sitting in this section because I was the only one that wasn't a Make-A-Wish kid, but I know that WWE really goes all out for those things, and I tip my hat to him. It's always a really nice cause.
And then John Cena comes over and puts his hand on your shoulder. He's like, Stevie, I have something to tell you.
Oh, well, everything's gonna be all right, Betty. Just
Make-A-Wish and it'll be okay.
That's it.
That's crazy. And you win all kinds of contests, right? Like, how are you so lucky?
I don't know. I don't know because I keep trying to win the lotto, and I can't win that. But
if you do, though, let me know. Let me know your secret.
I mean, if I wouldn't have won that contest to go to 26, I probably wouldn't have got the fever to keep going to WrestleManias year after year because I remember the first WrestleMania I ever really wanted to go to was WrestleMania 17, and that was in Houston. And I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I just never put pen to paper. I just kept on, like, I'd look at the ad in WWF Magazine, and I was like, I'm going to go to that. And next thing I knew, I was watching it on pay-per-view. I think I was just scared to plan a vacation and to go out there and actually do it.
Did you know that if you buy it on pay-per-view, you're paying $69.99 plus tax, when you could be paying It's just $9.99.
Oh, I've heard that rumor. I've heard that rumor a few times.
What an idiot, Michael. So anyways, you came to town. You stayed at the San Jose Garden Airport Hotel where WrestleCon was located. What was your agenda for the weekend? Like, when was your first event, and what did you go to?
Oh, man, we went non-stop.
So did we.
Yeah, Thursday, I went to Access. Friday was Ring of Honor. We went to WrestleCon on Friday morning as well. Went to WrestleCon again on Saturday.
I think I saw you a couple times on Saturday.
That WrestleCon, a wrestling show that was Saturday night, that was awesome. I mean, that was...
The lights were in my freaking eyes the whole time.
Oh.
We were over here. My section was chanting, turn that light off. And they would turn it off, and then it would go back on. And then we would chant, turn that light off, and then it would go off, and then we'll back on.
I actually looked up that card today because I could only remember a few matches that were on there. And there were matches on there that I didn't even remember that I was popping for. I was like, man, that show was really, really good. And I thought I got my money's worth and more at that show. I mean, nothing's going to be better than WrestleMania. But, I mean, that was possibly the best show that I went to the whole weekend.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam was on that card and everything.
Rob Van Dam and Sabu versus the Hardys.
Yeah, that was the main event.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then
I was trying to remember who he was against, but yeah, RVD and Sabu against the Hardys. That was incredible.
They had that Survivor. Well, it wasn't a Survivor Series because it was like the only one fall, but that 12-man tag they had where guys just kept coming out.
Oh, they were picking their teams on the spot?
Yeah. When the Dudleys came out, that was possibly like one of the biggest pops that I've ever heard live. I mean, everybody went bananas. Nobody knew they were coming out.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. So then Sunday you did Mania, then Monday you did Raw?
Oh, yeah. Monday we actually went to the boardwalk. We woke up.
Oh!
Yeah, we drove out to the boardwalk, we rode some rides, and then we walked into Raw just as the logo was coming on the screen. We were so lucky.
Yeah, so did we. It was so funny because we're in this super long line, and it just kept snaking around and around, and I was getting so... I had forgotten my tickets at home, so we go all the way to the arena, we had to turn around and go back to my house, get the tickets, and then come back, and so then we were in this long line. I felt super bad for my cousin and my girlfriend, and we got in just right before Raw started.
Oh, man, yeah, but if you get there before it starts, you know, all is forgotten. I mean, you're just glad to be there.
They're like, thank you for making us miss Superstars.
Oh, man. If they had anything, I feel like I didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my weekend, because we did so many things. Last minute on Thursday night, we went to Evolve.
Uh-huh.
That was amazing. Brian Cage, Uha Nation, who is now...
Paulo Cruz.
That guy, yeah. Ricochet. The main event was Drew Galloway versus PJ Black. And my girlfriend's favorite wrestlers are Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. And Gargano was on the card. He had a really good match, so she got to see him live. And then my girlfriend was wearing a Candice LeRae t-shirt, the pink one, the Firepuff Girl one. And she was so nervous. And I said, just go say hi. She'll see your shirt. She'll know you're her fan, and she'll be nice to you. Don't worry about it. Just go say hi. So she walks over to Candice. And Candice's like, hey, and she's like, hey, and then my girlfriend's like, I'm wearing your shirt, and then she's like, I know, Johnny pointed it out to me, and then my girlfriend was so excited that Johnny Gargano, like, pointed out the shirt to Candice, and so she ended up getting a picture with Gargano and a picture with Candice that night, and it was a really good time. You know, I met Cage, I met Chris Hero, met a whole bunch of great wrestlers, and so the Evolve show was just, it was simply amazing. And then on Friday... We went to Friday evening. We went to go see Mick Foley at the San Jose Improv, and that was just amazing off the hook. That was amazing. And then Mick Foley ended about 9:30, and then 10 o'clock NXT starts. And so we just walk about 10, 15 minutes to San Jose State, you know, which is like 4 or 5 blocks. And it was so funny because along the way, I see a bunch of people. I really wanted to meet somebody because everybody was posting on Facebook, oh, I met this person. Oh, I met this person. Oh, I met this person. I was so jealous. I wanted to meet somebody. And so I'm walking. I see a group of guys, right? And I'm like, okay, these guys got to be somebody. So I'm like looking at him. I look at him. I see this one little short blonde-headed guy. I'm like, ah, who is that? And then he looks at me. We make eye contact. It's Charles Robinson.
Oh!
And he says hi to me. He goes, hey, man, what's up? And I go, hey, what's up? And I shook his hand, and I said, I loved your work as Little Nate.
There
You're amazing. And he goes, oh, I'm honored that you remember that. And then he asked me directions to NXT because we had to go to the car real quick. So we were going a different way. He's like, hey, where's NXT? I'm like, oh, it's just you go this way, you go that way, boom, you're there. And he's like, okay, cool. And so that was neat meeting Charles Robinson. And we went to NXT. It starts at 10 p.m. because they didn't want to compete with Access.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, when we were going in, my cousin's like, oh, how long do you think it's going to be? I'm like, oh, probably about an hour. Because it starts at 10. You know, you don't expect it to go that long, right? It went until 1:30 in the morning.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that either.
That was one hell of a show. They actually put that I always want to call him Kenta. They put that Hideo Itami match on their Best of NXT DVD that just came out this week.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, with him giving the GTS to Tyler Breeze.
Dude, that was so amazing live when he did the GTS.
That was like the biggest rumor. I mean, it spread. I mean, like people were telling me. I think we were at Kaiju Big Battle or wherever we were. People were telling us that it happened. Like, oh, my God, he finally did it. Because that was the big tease.
Yeah.
Hideo would always pick people up, but they'd always kick out of it.
Yeah. And he was, like, tweeting back and forth to CM Punk on Twitter going, whatever, CM Punk, I'm going to go to sleep now. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome. And yeah, he hit the GTS. That was probably one of the most amazing moments in my professional wrestling, like, life. That was so amazing. And so Saturday, so we got out at 1 o'clock in the morning or 1:30 in the morning. We get home like around 2:30 because we went to go eat afterwards. And so Saturday we hit WrestleCon and we left here at 8 a.m. So I came home from NXT and I went to sleep. I woke up at 7 o'clock and I did a podcast just recapping what's happened so far. And so I did a podcast. I was out the door by 8 a.m. We went to go get breakfast, and we went to WrestleCon, and we spent the entire day at WrestleCon. It was... Saturday to WrestleCon. It was a really good time. We met a lot of great wrestlers. I got some good bumpers for my podcast, and that was a good time. And then Saturday night, we went to the show, like you said, Sabu and RVD versus the Hardys.
Uh-huh.
And then on Sunday, Sunday was WrestleMania, of course, and that was pretty amazing. And then Monday, we had that crazy experience at Raw, where we had to, like... you know, there's a million people trying to get into the building. I was surprised, actually, to get tickets to Raw, just because, like, I was explaining to my girlfriend at the time, there's 77,000 people at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
And only 16,000 of those people can go to Raw.
We had to buy our tickets. Like, we went to the pre-sale, and we got shut out. And then we went to the regular sale, and we got shut out. And then we immediately bought tickets on StubHub. And I think each of us had to pay, it was like $15 or $20 more for our ticket than the ticket price. And so somebody made some money off of us. But in the long run, you know, we were in there, and if it's only $15 or $20, you know, it is what it is. You got to pay it.
Yeah. I was able to get pre-sales. I went to a Korn concert, though, recently, a couple months ago, and I had to buy tickets on StubHub.
Uh-huh.
But really...
Oh, man, yeah, they get you. They get you every time. People know that there's shows coming that you want to see, and they're going to take advantage of it. I mean, look at this year's Mania. Like, you go to Ticketmaster, it's sold out. If you go on StubHub, there's like 1,000 tickets on there, maybe even more.
I mean, hey, if you can afford it, I would do it.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, I would do that too, man. You buy like 10 WrestleMania tickets and just put them up on StubHub.
All right. I guess they're going to sell. I hope they are. I mean, there's going to be people out there to lose money just because there's always going to be a ticket that doesn't sell, I guess.
I heard online that they're up to about 80,000 tickets sold.
Yeah, because it's crazy because, like, you haven't been able to buy a good ticket on Ticketmaster for a long time. And the Observer kept on reporting that they only sold like 60,000 tickets. And I'm like, well, where the heck are they? And then all of a sudden they got bumped up to 70 and now it's at 80. I think it's just somebody wanted to make it sound like the build was actually working or something like that. So they're just reporting a lower number than it was. But I don't know. Because if you go to Ticketmaster right now, the only seats you can get are $2,000 seats. Those are the ones that they're not able to move yet.
Wow. Were you tickets $2,000?
I wish. we bought the WrestleMania travel package, which
okay, so you get hotel, airfare, all that's included.
No airfare, but it's 4 nights at the hotel. We ended up getting a really nice place called the Marigold, I think is what it is. You get a ticket to WrestleMania, you get a ticket to the Hall of Fame, you get a ticket to Raw, and you get 2 access tickets. Oh, and you get 1 NXT ticket. And it cost us, I think it was $14.75 a piece, which in my book isn't that bad. I mean, we get really, really nice Mania seats, and they take care of us all along the way. We get a bus to WrestleMania.
Nice.
It's one thing we don't have to worry about, but I highly recommend to everybody. I know that some people have problems saving money, and they always get surprised when they go on sale. And they're like, well, where am I going to get this money from? And I'm like, well, you should have been thinking about it all year. But I don't think I'll ever go to WrestleMania and not buy the package again, because every year the pre-sales for all the tickets just get harder and harder and harder. And that's my big deal. I'll give them as much money as they want to do it all for me, because I don't want to deal with pre-sales anymore.
Yeah, pre-sales suck. But isn't it a pre-sale on the WrestleMania trip package?
There's just the time to buy them. And this year they sold out all of them in an hour. You just basically have to fill out a form and put your credit card in and tell them how many people are coming, and that's all you have to do. I actually was so excited I filmed myself buying it this year.
Did you put it on YouTube?
Yeah, I uploaded it on YouTube because I actually – they went on sale at 9 o'clock. And I started my shift at 9 o'clock. So I worked this out with my boss. I said, I'm going to be late. I don't know how late. Possibly I'll be here in 2 minutes. Maybe I'll be here in 20 minutes. But I'm going to be here as soon as I can, I promise you. So I drove to work, and I actually parked my truck across the street at the Mexican restaurant, and I used their Wi-Fi. And I logged in and bought my package. And I think I was only like 2 minutes late to work. I clocked in at like 9:02 or something like that. So it was really easy.
Nice. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I guess it sounds pretty easy.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, just not have, like, sometimes they spring it on you. They don't even tell you. They're just like, hey, the Hall of Fame pre-sale is tomorrow at 9. Go figure it out how you're going to buy your tickets. Like, that's how you find out. So you don't have to, like, be working to try and find somebody. All right, who's going to be able to buy the tickets? Who's going to be able to try and help buy the tickets? And it's just everything's all done for you. That's the best. The WrestleMania travel package, I give it 5 stars.
They did that last year with NXT, especially because the show I was planned last minute.
Mm-hmm.
It was all of a sudden it's like, hey, you guys, NXT tickets are on sale tomorrow, and I'm like, I'm on it.
I can't believe it. I mean, this year, I mean, that's the hottest ticket around. I mean, if you can buy a ticket anywhere in the arena for less than $300, you buy it, because I mean that's the show everyone wants to see. And for some reason, they didn't learn from the NXT show in Brooklyn, where it sold out the Barclays Center. It's in a really another small place. It's the same place they're doing access in the convention center. And I mean, definitely, I think that the demand is as high as they could have sold twice as many tickets as they did. I don't know why they did that.
How are they doing in the same building as Access? Because wouldn't they have to, like, take everything down from Access and then
this is kind of
put up
weird
seats? Like, or is it, like, a different building?
It's in the same building. They just have, like, a concert hall. It's like a big circle.
Wow.
And I've seen pictures of what it looks like, and it looks like it's going to be a really cool place to see a show. I mean, even if you're sitting in the last row, you're, like, you're not feet from the action, but I mean, it looks like you're so close. Like, it looks like it's going to be a really awesome place to see a show.
See, the difference between last year and this year is last year it wasn't a takeover. I mean, it felt like a takeover because, you know, we had Hideo Itami and Tyler Breeze, and Hideo Itami hit the GTS, and we had the promo between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which was amazing. And we also had the main event of Finn Balor versus Adrian Neville.
Wasn't there a Charlotte versus Sasha Banks match or something like that?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that. Yeah,
it definitely felt like a takeover, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And this year, it's going to be amazing. So you're going to NXT?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So you're looking forward to Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura?
That whole card looks dynamite. Last night's NXT basically put together the whole show. The one match I'm looking forward to more than anything else, I think, is honestly the American Alpha match. I love those guys. They are so good, and I'm so pumped to see them win the titles.
Yeah, I haven't watched NXT yet, but I saw a little clip of Chad Gable. He did this. He did a roll, like a roll through, and then he picked him up and he German suplexed him.
Yeah, when he did it, I called it the Rolling Thunder, and I realized that wasn't the right name for it. But it was possibly one of the most beautiful wrestling moves I've ever seen. I mean, he did it with such ease, like I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, those guys, they're amazing, and it's funny because your wife doesn't watch wrestling, you said?
Oh, not one bit. No, she just looks at me with this like wide open gaze whenever I start talking about it. Just like whatever makes you stop talking about this, let's just make that happen.
I thought I lost you again for a second there, but how long have you been married?
I've been married for 8 years now. Yeah, I'm really
eight
lucky.
8 years? You haven't been able to convert her into a wrestling fan?
She honestly used to watch Raw with me years and years and years ago. But the second I started making YouTube videos and I made a couple friends to talk wrestling with, she was like, I'm out of this way. I can't. Like, you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah. Anyways, my girlfriend's a huge wrestling fan. She got into it in 2011, the Pipe Bomb promo by CM Punk. It really like captured her, and she's been just into it ever since. And she mostly likes the indies. You know, she likes Colt Cabana, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, like I said before. But anyways, she was telling me how Jason Jordan, how when they first got together, how he was just like stiff and he had like no personality and he was just like almost nervous.
Oh yeah.
And then when Chad Gable came along, he was oozing so much charisma that he just brought it out of Jason Jordan. And now these two guys are just like so full of charisma and they're so good in the ring. And I feel like, like she said, like Chad Gable is the one who really like blossomed Jason Jordan's charisma factor.
Oh, big time. If you even look at pictures of Jason Jordan from a year or 2 years ago, he doesn't even look like the same guy. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't.
But that whole show, it looked spectacular. Yeah, Baylor versus Joe, the Nakamura versus Zayn match has huge expectations on it. And I don't know, man. I'm really questioning why Nakamura is going to NXT. I mean, there's all the rumors about you know Finn Balor getting called up to the main event or not the main event, the main roster. And I don't know if they just need a star there to try and keep it going, but a star like that to keep him in developmental is kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel like the WWE may not have a lot of faith in the name Shinsuke Nakamura in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so NXT is a good way to just kind of test him out and gauge him and to see where he kind of falls with the audience.
Mm-hmm. I
don't be surprised though if he comes up really really soon.
I think that when he gets the huge pop, it's going to make people wonder why. And if they don't know who he is, they'll look him up and they'll find out very very fast why this guy is as over as he is.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura is amazing, and you know what? One of his good friends is Sami Zayn, and these two guys are going to tear the house down.
Sami Zayn's the kind of guy, he can have the best match in the world with just about anybody. So, I mean, I think this one's going to be really, really good.
And you know what? Coming out of WrestleMania weekend, I feel like Sami Zayn could be the star of the weekend. You know, he could tear it up with Shinsuke Nakamura. He can go to Dallas WrestleMania and tear it up with Kevin Owens. And it's just, he's going to be like the superstar of the weekend.
I hope so, man. They put that video up on WWE.com, and they put a story up on why they don't get along. But I think, honestly, that they're messing up Sami Zayn the same way that they've messed up with so many other guys that have came up to the main roster, like not giving him big nats, not letting people know who he is. He just showed up on Raw one day and walked out and looked at Kevin Owens, and they expect everyone to watch NXT, and you have to be like smart and realize that not every WWE wrestling fan watches NXT or even has time for it or knows about Ring of Honor. Like, they don't spend time developing people the way that they used to. Like, they used to give you big nets for months before somebody debuted, and I don't know, man. I don't want to see Sami Zayn just become another one of the mid-card geeks that they have on Raw each and every week. I mean, so many people have come up from NXT and not been able to really catch on. I'm scared for him right now.
You know, those vignettes they used to do, the Razor Ramon and, mm-hmm. and the Waylon Mercy and all these different guys who are coming to WWE, mm-hmm. you know, Karma even. Do you realize the last two they did was Bo Dallas and Adam Rose?
Oh, I know.
Look at them now.
It gets you, like, thinking about them. It makes you actually think that these guys are a star. And I think that's why they worked. I mean, like, you saw Razor Ramon hanging out on the streets of Miami. You saw, you know, Carlito spitting apples in the face of
Warren
Poole. And it
built Mr. up, Perfect?
Yeah, they built up the expectations of what you were going to see. You think this guy already is a winner, and you haven't even seen him wrestle a match yet. So, I don't know, man. Just putting him right in there cold turkey and him, you know, possibly just becoming a guy that gets a win here, loses a match there. I mean, it hasn't worked with Bo Dallas, Adam Rose, The Ascension, Tyler Breeze. I mean, what they're doing isn't working, and somehow they need to realize this.
But what I'm saying is, uh-huh. Bo Dallas and Adam Rose, they did have the vignettes.
I don't know.
Coming soon, Bo Dallas. Coming soon, Adam Rose, and they just completely flopped.
I don't know, man. I just I wish the best for him. I mean, like, I remember going to my first Ring of Honor show and seeing El Generico, and like when he first came out, I thought he was going to be like the comedy guy of the show, and he ended up being the one guy where I was just like, who is this guy? I want to know everything about him. That was freaking awesome, and I want to see more of that guy.
Yeah, no, El Generico was just so amazing, and it's funny because I remember watching on YouTube a long time ago, I don't even think it's on YouTube anymore, Generico versus Claudio Castagnoli from PWG.
Yeah.
And then, boom, Sami Zayn and Cesaro just tore it up in NXT.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know what's funny is I was, as a kid, you know, you watch wrestling, right? And you're like, okay, we have the best guys from Texas, the best guys from Canada, the best guys from over here, the best guys from over here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like a melting pot, like all these different guys from the different territories come up. And now it's kind of like they're reliving that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the Ring of Honor guys. We have the CZW guys. We have all these different guys. We have the Japan guys.
Oh,
we have
yeah.
the Mexico guys. And it's just like all these different people are coming together, the best in the world. You know, like Paige. Look at Paige. She's just a wrestler from England that they signed, and now she's one of the top women in the world. You know, Paige versus Natalia. Like, that's the Knight family versus the Hart family. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be, with Paige, she's going to keep growing and being a bigger star. I know that the women's match this year is about, like, the Divas Revolution and all three girls being rookies coming up from NXT, but Paige is going to get back into that main scene again, and I think she's going to be the John Cena of the Divas Division, the one person that everything runs through.
I do, too. I feel like within the next year or two, Paige is going to be, like, the veteran in the women's division. Mm-hmm. She's only, like, 24 right now.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And she'll be 25. She'll be, like, the longest-reigning women's wrestler in the WWE. Because the Bellas will be gone, and Natty might be gone soon, and, you know, who knows?
I don't know. They're putting together that 8-woman tag match, and they say it's going to be at WrestleMania. It'll probably be on the pre-show, but I can tell you, honestly, I'm not really looking forward to it. I wish Paige was doing something bigger and something better.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, she's on the card.
Yeah.
Last year, she was in a tag match with AJ Lee against the Bella Twins. So I feel like this is a little bit cooler. You know, Natty's in the match, and Lana's in the match, and Summer Rae's in the match, and
hopefully they'll do it like WrestleMania 26, where just everybody walked into somebody's finisher, and you see like seven finishers in like 2 minutes, and it's like I don't know that women's match doesn't really have a whole bunch, but it's always excites me every time I watch it.
Hopefully they'll do it like WrestleMania 30, and the women's match will get cut.
Oh.
Like, sorry, ladies, we're out of time. Triple H's entrance went long.
You get the Bellas crying backstage with her little hats on Total Divas.
Do you watch Total Divas?
I haven't watched it in, honestly, a long, long time. I think season 2 is when I fell off. I'll see highlights, I'll see GIFs, but nothing has really grabbed me to the point of I have to watch this.
I saw the first episode, and that was it.
Oh, I mean, the first season was really cool. One of the things I liked the most was, like, all the backstage footage. And even though it seems like it's, like, you know, all made up bull crap, like when Brodus Clay was going after what's-her-name's boyfriend backstage, and they were going to have a fight. But it just was, like, to see backstage at WWE is so exciting. You always wonder what goes on back there. Now you actually get to see it. That was one of the things that grabbed me to it.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. There was a few cool things I saw, because I saw clips here and there. One of my favorite things ever, like, to this day, I don't remember what episode it was, but Fandango was there, and he grabbed one of the female's hands, and he went to kiss her hand, but he kissed his own hand. Oh, I'd still do that. I do that to this day. I love that. I get my girlfriend every time with that. Anything else on your mind about WrestleMania?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's possibly the most exciting WrestleMania. They really saved this from the ashes, in my opinion, because a few months ago I was just like, you know, oh, WrestleMania is, you know, where I'm just going. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'll get to go to WrestleCon. I'll get to go see, you know, go to Access. You know, it's just an excuse to get out of town and go to a different city. But now all of a sudden, you know, Shane McMahon shows up. They got the company on the line. You know, Undertaker's in a Hell in a Cell. Triple H going into WrestleMania as a champion really excites me, being a Triple H fan. I mean, I'm really, really excited for WrestleMania. Even if it's only for those two matches, I think this is going to be really fun.
All right, so who takes it, Shane or The Undertaker?
Oh, good God. It's hard. I mean, like, both of these matches, like, are so connected. And being a wrestling fan for so long, WrestleMania always leaves you with most of the time with a happy feeling. Even last year when Seth Rollins won the championship and he was a bad guy, like a heel, whatever you want to call it. I mean, like, it's still, you walked out of Mania, like, you got your money's worth. Like, that was really cool. We got to see somebody cash in and be champion at WrestleMania, what the Money in the Bank was invented for. But I know that with WWE, they give you one thing that makes you feel really good about what happened, and then they also give you one thing that's not so good. And I want to think that they're going to give the company to Shane, because Shane has come out and said so many blatant, like, obvious things that WWE would never admit. The stock price isn't where it should be. Ratings are down. The roster's hurt. One thing after another. You know, these guys are getting pushed, and these guys that have a ton of talent. He hasn't said names, but, you know, you're thinking of guys like, like Tyson Kidd, like Claudio, you know, guys that are in the mid card that should be getting so much more, and they're not getting anything. You know, that Shane has been saying, these are the guys that are going to get a shot when I get in charge. You have to put him in charge, or you're basically just slapping every wrestling fan in the face. But at the same time, if Shane takes over the company, I think that Triple H is going to beat Roman and keep the championship. But then you're going to slap Roman Reigns in the face as a two-time loser. I know that. With New Japan, who I've been watching over the last 2 years, you know, Okada went to the main dance and he lost twice before he won it. But do you really want to portray Roman Reigns as going to the main event of WrestleMania 2 years in a row and not walking out with a championship and still think that he's going to be the John Cena of the company? You know, if you want the guy to be, you know, strong and be the guy of the company, he's got to step up and he's got to deliver. So, I mean, it's hard for me to pick what's going to happen. I mean, I think that everything is so connected in those two matches. I wouldn't be surprised if, in my mind, Shane wins and becomes the owner, GM, whatever you want to call him. Triple H keeps the championship, and then it basically turns into Triple H versus Shane, and sort of falls back into the background. And then I don't know if you have Shane actually wrestle a match against Triple H, or you have it where Shane is picking, you know, good guy competitors to go up against Triple H, and that's where it goes. But that sort of excites me in my mind.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty cool. I agree with you, but I so much disagree with you, because I feel like the one good thing they're going to give us is Shane winning, and the one bad thing they're going to give us is Roman winning.
Oh, but then what do you do to interest people on Monday Night Raw? Do you just go?
Well, what if Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon together turn heel?
Oh.
And Roman helps Shane beat The Undertaker, and then Shane helps Roman beat Triple H, and then it's a new era, Shane's in charge, and Roman's his cornerstone.
I hope so. I mean, I honestly understand the Roman Reigns hate, but I honestly really like Roman Reigns. And I've been thinking for the longest time, like, give him that title. Like, what are you waiting for? Like,
he's a two-time champion already.
I know, but he got to hold the belt for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but like Daniel Bryan.
I honestly drove myself crazy the other day. I was trying to, like, I remember he had the belt. He was the champion. He won it on Raw. I couldn't remember how in the world he lost it. I forgot that they put the belt on the line at the Rumble. I was just trying to – both of those reigns, in my opinion, have been forgettable. I mean, he didn't really do anything.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
All three of those reigns have been forgettable if you count Roman Reigns.
Oh man. I think that Roman's a good guy. I think that maybe you can say that he doesn't deliver the best promo in the world, but I think that he's a good wrestler. I mean, I don't understand when people say that about him, that he doesn't know how to work.
He's decent. He's a decent worker. I mean, he's no better. He's no worse than Hulk Hogan was
in
the 80s. And here's the thing too. You know Vince Russo, right?
Uh-huh.
I completely agree with Vince Russo. They're at a stage in their lives in the WWE where he's given a script. He has to memorize it. And before he goes out, he's thinking, I can't screw up, I can't screw up, I can't screw up, I can't screw up. Now, if The Rock, this is what Vince Russo said, if you're The Rock, and if you're Steve Austin, and you have the mentality of, I can't screw up, I can't screw up, I can't screw up, you're not going to get over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason why The Rock and Steve Austin got over so big was because they went out there and they were themselves. And Roman isn't given that privilege to be himself.
I think he's so far up the ladder right now that he needs to just start breaking the script and just saying what he wants to say. I mean, what are they going to do? They're not going to fire him.
He's too scared. He is like a baby bird that's never flown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's too scared to jump out of the nest. And they're not going to push him out of the nest because they want to protect him.
I don't know. I remember it's been a while, but they had a SummerSlam video game deal. And it was like an interview with a whole bunch of guys, and Roman Reigns and Stone Cold Steve Austin were sort of like going back and forth on each other. And I remember people being really impressed with the way Roman was able to hold his own, like thinking up his own lines and saying what he needed to say. I don't know. I have a lot of faith in this guy as being the number one guy, and there's definitely a lot of supporting guys coming up behind him. The future is going to be really fun for WWE. I just think people need to get over this "we hate Roman Reigns" thing. It started with that whole I guess you can say Daniel Bryan not winning that Rumble, but I mean, like, Daniel Bryan's not walking through that door. I mean, like, I don't know who they want to be champion. Nobody really liked Seth when he was champion. They said that he didn't really beat anybody. So, I mean,
and Dean Ambrose was in the main event of Raw a couple weeks ago against Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And he did not pop a rating.
Yeah. I mean, like, the people, if you're fans of WWE, you got to support somebody. I mean, you can't, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, they aren't walking through that door anytime soon. So, I mean,
well, The Rock might be.
Get over it. Like,
Rock might be, but he'll be walking out as fast as he walks in.
Oh, my God. I have no clue what that guy's doing at WrestleMania. I don't even know why they're putting the commercials up, because it's like, did you see the video that The Rock put up on Twitter? Like, I think it's been 2 weeks now. But it was basically like The Rock was like looking for ideas. He's like, I'm coming to WrestleMania. What do you want me to do? Tweet me your ideas. We'll see what's going to happen. It's going to be the biggest party. I'm going to have a ton of fun. And I'm like, what do you mean? Tell me what you want me to do. Like,
I think he's trying to make fans feel like they're interacting.
Like, what do you mean? Like, you want us to write the script now? Like, don't they have enough guys to do this? Like, it's like they're...
Hey, if Vince McMahon calls me, I'll tell you what to do.
I don't know, man. Like, I think that Shane McMahon versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, I'm not writing the script, but I mean, honestly, I look at how fun the Sting versus Triple H match was with DX versus the NWO.
That was a dream come true for me.
I mean, that was something.
Everybody hates it. Everybody hates that match because there were so many shenanigans. But for me, I'm like, holy crap, NWO versus DX. I'm waiting 20 years for this.
I got chills watching that Sting documentary that came out a little while ago. That was the first time I had rewatched the match. And I forgot really how cool that was when those guys came out. What I want to see, if it can happen, is that basically the Hell in the Cell just turns into an Attitude Era fest. And we see, you know, The Rock, Mick Foley, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, all these guys that are rumored to be a part of WrestleMania one way or another, try and help The Undertaker or try and help Shane. I think all of those guys being in the cell at the same time, even if it's just, you know, somebody hits somebody with a Sweet Chin Music and that turns into the Rock Bottom, and then Stone Cold hits him with a stunner. And even if it plays no part in the finish, I think that would be a cool little deal to do some spots in there, and everybody would pop huge for all of those things.
You know what would be really, really cool? Somebody came up to me with this idea. I've said this a couple times on the podcast already. But if Shane – so the bell rings, and Shane's running. He's running away from The Undertaker, just running away. And then finally The Undertaker gets him. Undertaker's beating him up, choke-slamming him. And you think the match is about to be over, and the lights go out. And the lights come back on. And in the ring, in the cell, is Finn Balor, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows.
Those guys,
and they're just pointed. They're just pointing at him like the Bullet Club. They're just pointing at him. And they just take out The Undertaker and put Shane on top. 1, 2, 3.
Those guys are coming. And they got to have something big. And I think they're coming sooner than later. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens one bit at all. I'm really excited. I fell in love with Gallows and Machine Gun with their Talking Shop podcast. And then around that time, I started watching New Japan on New Japan World. I don't think that they're the best workers in the world, but I'm really excited for Finn Balor. I think the world of this guy, and anything that makes this guy the main event sooner than later, I think is going to be really big. And he is, in my mind, a can't miss guy. You're going to put him out there and people are going to fall in love with this guy. I think he is that good.
Speaking of dream matches, AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. Now people are complaining, oh, this is a fourth match. Oh, this is the fourth time. Oh, who cares? I will watch this match 100 times if these guys wrestle each other 100 times. I'm waiting 16 years to see these two guys wrestle each other. And I am excited to see Chris Jericho, AJ Styles tear the house down at WrestleMania.
Chris Jericho understands it. I mean, there is some sort of WrestleMania magic that happens. I mean, and like you think about how good Jericho versus Michaels was at 19.
That's probably one of the greatest matches of all time.
I think that AJ Styles is going to experience what WrestleMania is. I mean, this guy, he wrestled twice at Wrestle Kingdom. He wrestled against Ibushi, and he wrestled against Nakamura. And both of those matches were great. He really lived up to the expectations of knocking it out of the park for Wrestle Kingdom. I think he's going to bring that with Jericho. And I think that they knew that they were doing WrestleMania. And as good as that Raw match was, and as good as the SmackDown match was, I think that they're going to bring it to WrestleMania. I bet you they saved some things, and it's possibly one of the reasons why we haven't seen the Styles clash in a while.
You know, it's funny because their first match, they left a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
Their second match was better. We even saw Styles clash. It was a good match, but Fastlane was even better than that. And Fastlane was a really good match. But I think, like you said, they've been holding back.
Mm-hmm.
They've been saving it because these guys are going to go to WrestleMania, and they're probably going to have match of the night.
Oh, man, they're really going to deliver. I think it's going to be really, really good. AJ has been a guy since probably 2004, 2005, that people have been like, this guy needs to get to WWE, and they've wanted it for a long time. They're finally going to get it.
All right, now, you brought it up earlier. I kind of glossed over it, but I do want to talk about it. WrestleMania 31 in Levi Stadium.
Uh-huh.
You know, going into it, I guess a lot can be said about this WrestleMania. The build, it didn't seem that fantastic. It didn't seem like it was going to blow anything out of the water. It was a really good WrestleMania. And going into Brock versus Roman, it was, to me, it was a foregone conclusion that Brock was going to lose, that Roman was going to win. Like, that was, to me, set in stone before the match even happened. And when Seth Rollins' music hit, and I looked at my cousin and I said, well, I guess we know who's taking the pin now.
Oh.
he went in there, curb stomp, spear, curb stomp, one, two, three. I lost it, man. It was like that. I know I said something, I don't remember what I said earlier, like one of my favorite wrestling moments of all time, but this is probably my number one moment in wrestling history. Like, this was a WrestleMania moment, and I was so honored that I was there in person to see Seth Rollins win the title.
That's why I think everybody walked out so happy. I mean, being able to see something that they never thought they were going to be able to see. To me, honestly, when Brock re-signed with WWE like the week before WrestleMania, that to me is when WrestleMania 31 turned around. That was when, like, oh, wow, I guess he's not leaving. So, I mean, maybe the chances that he is going to keep the title. And I don't know. I mean, my friend leaned over to me when, like, they were doing the whole thing where Brock was killing Roman with German suplexes, and they put the camera on Roman in the corner, and he actually smiled like he was enjoying this. And that's when my friend leaned over, and he was like, Rollins is going to come out, and he's going to cash in. I looked at him like, dude, you're high. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and
well, he was in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I mean, like, within a few minutes, like, there he was. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just kept laughing. Like, you got to be kidding me.
I don't know if this is a known fact or not, but I read online after WrestleMania that going into it, they were still going to have Roman win. And it wasn't until the Ronda Rousey Triple H segment,
yeah,
Stephanie McMahon, The Rock, and all that, whatever, that Pat Patterson pulled Brock, Heyman, Seth, and Roman aside, and he put them in a room, and he said, okay, you guys, there's going to be a change of plans. Tonight, Seth's going to cash in, and Seth is going to win the belt, work on a finish. And then he left those four guys to sit there and work on a finish.
I love it, man. I mean, like, I had heard that story also, and when I was watching that on the WWE Network, they had that WWE 24/7 show when they showed the whole weekend.
WrestleMania Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I kept on hoping that they were going to show that because they film everything backstage, and someday I think that's going to come out. And
but that's too much insider. That's too insider.
Oh, I don't know. I think that. So before our days are done, I bet you we see something.
Yeah, maybe. But it was definitely one of the best moments. This is my final question to you here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the greatest WrestleMania moment that you've experienced live?
Oh, by far, Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania 30. And I knew, like when you really think about it, like that weekend, you knew Daniel Bryan was winning. There's no doubt in your mind. But then, like, he has to face Triple H. There was that little thing in the back of my mind, like, maybe Triple H should put himself over. Maybe he'll put himself in the main event. Like, why would he have that stipulation if he's not going to use it? Maybe he wants to be champion one more time. I was psyching myself out. And when Bryan beat Triple H, we threw a party in our section. Like, we knew he was winning. And then the match happened, and it kept on being 2-on-1, where it was Batista and Orton versus Bryan, and it was like, oh, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And I think he finally locked in the yes lock on Batista, and Batista tapped. I felt like I won the World Series. I mean, I literally jumped up and I hugged my friend Justin. I turned and I hugged my friend Miguel, and like the confetti started pouring out. It felt like a huge, huge moment. It felt like it was bigger than WrestleMania. It felt like I was at the Super Bowl or something like that. Daniel Bryan was the ultimate underdog, and you know, like, it just seemed like everyone in that whole place was rooting for him, and he won it. It was this such come from behind victory. I just felt like that was, like, nothing's ever going to top that. I don't think.
That was an amazing moment. That was really, really amazing. And, you know, the match that Daniel Bryan and Triple H had was an amazing match, too. I was surprised that Triple H went out there and had such a good match with Daniel Bryan.
I was like, even for the Slammies. I mean, the Slammies are like, fan-voted, I guess you could say, if they're not rigged. But I mean,
quote, unquote.
I literally had heat with WWE that wasn't match of the year. I was like, that. There is nothing better than that match. Like that is like one of the best matches in my opinion. I love that match, and I don't watch him winning the title that much. I watch him versus Triple H on the network, like, I don't know, once every couple of months, because that's a really, really good match. I love
that. That was a New Japan Pro Wrestling match.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, like, they kicked it up a notch for that one. I mean, is there ever going to be another WrestleMania opener like that match? Like, you know, I still can't believe it. You turn on WrestleMania 30, it opens up with Hogan, Rock, and Stone Cold in the ring, and then you watch the Daniel Bryan match, and you realize you've just killed an hour. Like you've only watched, like, two things.
But let me ask you something here, because I heard a lot of people reporting saying that that the mood was somber. People were sad. People were living with their heads down because, like, no matter what Daniel Bryan did, it doesn't top what happened with The Undertaker.
Okay, here.
Now, is that something that's accurate?
Here, it's close. It's true and it's false at the same time. Okay, Undertaker lost. I don't think it really sunk in until, like, three quarters of the way through that Divas match. Nobody was there. Nobody remembers anything in that Divas match. I don't remember how the girls came out. I don't know if they teleported to the ring. I don't know if they came out one by one. I don't know if it was like WrestleMania 25 and they all came out at once. But, like, no one reacted to anything in that match. And when the Daniel Bryan match came on, people were into it. And when Daniel Bryan won, it was a party in there. But the minute you stepped outside of the Superdome and we walked to our hotel, I kept saying to my friends, like, this is like a funeral march. Like, no one's yelling, no one's screaming, no one's reacting. Everybody's walking with their heads down. Like, I couldn't believe it. We walked all the way. We walked probably a 10-minute walk to our hotel, and no one was really talking. No one was interacting. It felt like a funeral. But we went in the hotel. We put our stuff down. We came back out on the street. We walked the 5-minute walk to Bourbon Street, and it was like the mood had completely changed. I mean, like, I had never felt like that before. Like, it, when Undertaker lost, that hit people. That hit people a lot more than I couldn't even believe it. Like, that was as close to being at a funeral as you could be.
Ironically, huh?
Yeah.
The funeral parlor. Yeah, dude, when Undertaker lost, I was in a room full of people, and it was so silent, you know. It was like, wow, like, did Undertaker just really lose? I remember when Brock Lesnar picked up the Undertaker for the third F5, and I was like, how is he going to kick out of that, you know? And it was like, one, two, okay, kick out,
yeah,
three.
I was looking at my phone for the three count.
I wasn't expecting him to lose, not even to Brock, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nobody was. I thought the match would be good, but I thought that, you know, there was no way in the world that Undertaker was losing to anybody. If he didn't lose to Michaels, he didn't lose to Triple H, he didn't lose to Punk, he sure wasn't going to lose to Brock.
And then Brock did it. Brock conquered the Phenom.
And then last year, nobody cared about his match against Bray Wyatt. That was possibly as quiet as it was that Divas match for WrestleMania.
Yeah,
30.
That was pretty sad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were complaining because they came out during the daylight. But, like, who cares? It was still cool.
I thought it was really cool. Bray Wyatt came down and the Scarecrow started to walk with them. And then Undertaker came out and they had those big, huge flames like he was coming out of the gates of hell. Like, I thought it was cool. I don't care what anybody else thought. I thought the intros were really cool.
See, I feel like that match would have been a lot better if the Wyatt family hadn't been disbanded at the time. Mm-hmm. Because then Undertaker would have had to gone through more people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think the fact that, you know, like I was expecting Roadblock. I was expecting Brock to have to beat up Harper and Rowan as well, you know, before he got to Bray. And I think that's like half the intrigue of the Wyatt family is if you beat Bray, you got to go through his goons. And I feel like that was a story against the Undertaker that they didn't tell.
Sort of like with WrestleMania 27 with CM Punk versus Randy Orton, or Orton.
Yeah, he took out Nexus one at a time.
One at a time. Every week he kicked one of the guys in the head until it was just him and Punk, and Punk was scared shitless. Like, oh man.
But see, again, that would have been better if the guys were still at Punk's side going into Mania, and Orton took them out in the match. Just one by one, just took them all out during the match. RKO, boom, that guy's out. Boom, RKO, Michael McGillicuddy's out.
Well, that didn't really work out for that Survivor Series tag match with Kane and Undertaker versus the Wyatts, where it was supposed to be 2-on-2, but they really beat all four of them.
Yeah, because they beat all four of them on Raw already. They beat them all four up already. And it just, the Wyatts didn't look like a threat going into it. And see, they could have done a whole lot better situation with that. Like, Bray could have ended up with the urn, and Bray could have been controlling the Undertaker. Like, they just left so much to be desired with that feud.
He ate their souls for Survivor Series and couldn't even beat them. Like what?
And it's like, if he would have had the urn, and he would have made the Undertaker a bad guy doing his bidding for, like, 6 months, then I think that would have been amazing. And then eventually Undertaker could have overpowered him and fought him and got the urn back and blah, blah, blah. But it was all rushed. It was all just too rushed because they wanted to celebrate 25 years of The Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was more like, oh, let's do this cute little thing instead of, like, let's do this drawn-out amazing feud. But anyways, I'm just rambling now. So let's go ahead and drop some social media for us.
Oh, man, everything is Stevie Bree. And you can follow me on Twitter, where I'm mostly active, on YouTube. Oh.
Excuse me, hold on. You cut out for a second. Stevie Breach. Stevie Breech.
Yeah, everything Stevie Breech. I upload YouTube videos at least daily. Hopefully it's something that you like or something you want to talk about. And I try to get back to everybody who tweets me. I try to get back to everybody who comments me. So if you're looking for somebody to talk professional wrestling with, you know, I'm your guy. And, come on over and we'll talk some wrestling.
Let's do this again after Mania, and then we'll have some exciting stories about Dallas.
Hey, I honestly am a Pro Wrestling Nation fan, and I am a listener, so anytime that you need me, anytime you want to talk, you just let me know, and I'll make sure I'm here.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Give a big shout out and a big thank you to Mr. Stevie Breech for stopping by the podcast. He is amazing to talk to. He's really fun. He's a cool guy. Go check him out on YouTube, Stevie Breech. Check him out on Twitter at Stevie Breech and Instagram and Facebook and all those social media websites. Check him out. He's a pretty awesome dude. So thank you to Stevie Breech for stopping by the podcast. Boom! And I want to give a shout out to Gurick.net. Gurick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling since 1997. They have, last time I was talking about the Gurick Report podcast, I was telling you how they have Teddy Long, several episodes. Well, guess what? Teddy Long is now a reoccurring character on the show. So Teddy Long will be on the Gurick Report podcast all the time now. And there's like a bunch of episodes that he has recorded with them and they have put up. And Teddy Long talks about all kinds of stuff. I love listening to Teddy Long. And if you play a, holla, 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 if you want to listen to Teddy Long as well, go check out the Gurick Report podcast on Gurick, GERWECK.net. So I went to Vegas, you guys. I went to Vegas last weekend. It was a really good time. We stayed off the strip. It was like a 2-minute walk to the strip. It was like behind the strip. So we stayed at a place called Polo Towers. It was beautiful. We had a balcony. We had all kinds of cool stuff. It was amazing. We had a fully stocked kitchen, refrigerator, oven, microwave, utensils, metal utensils in the drawers, colanders, like plates, glasses. Like it was like an apartment. It was beautiful. It was amazing. We were about a 5-minute walk from Planet Hollywood. And so we visited Planet Hollywood. We visited Paris. There's all kinds of cool pictures. If you guys like to check out pictures of my trip to Vegas, follow me on Instagram at Funky Sam Medina. I have all kinds of awesome pictures. All kinds. New York, New York. The Mirage. Caesar's Palace. We went to all kinds of cool spots in Vegas. There was a lot of people, a lot of homeless people carrying signs, just holding, sitting there holding signs. One of the signs said, one of the signs said it's not going to suck itself, which is kind of stupid because there's kids there. There's kids walking around during the day on the strip with their parents, and they hold a sign that says it's not going to suck itself. My favorite sign, though, was one that said, ninjas kidnapped my wife. I need money for kung fu lessons. There was another sign that said, my wife had a sex change and left me for my girlfriend, which was kind of stupid because it's like, oh, if you have a wife, then why do you have a girlfriend? And it just doesn't make sense logically. But I did like the ninjas one. What else was going on in Vegas? There's all kinds of cool stores. The Hershey store was there. I got some good candy, you guys. I got kisses, like Hershey kisses. They have like this thing where you just dump kisses in a bag and they just wait and they charge you. It's really, really cool. I got kisses before I left Vegas. There's all kinds of these little baseball cards they give out on the streets. I don't know if you guys, this is my first time in Vegas, okay? They give out these baseball cards on the streets, right? Only they're not baseball players on the cards. They're women. They're prostitutes, you guys. And they have prices and phone numbers. One of them was free. I didn't want to go there. I mean, I didn't, you know, go for any of them. But I have a big old stack. I almost have an entire set of these cards. I was trying to collect them all, you guys. I'm going to get a little binder with the little card holders and just, like, have them on display. They're double-sided and everything. It's really weird, though, how they do that. They just stand there and they, like, slap the cards together. And then if you look, if they get your attention, they just reach out, hand it to you. And, you know, you could either keep walking or you could take it. And a lot of times I took it. Then you go look at the cards and there's all these chicks on them. And then you go, oh man, if only I did prostitutes. But, you know, I don't do that stuff. But hey, it's really cool though. Those cards are really exciting. They're really funny. And I have a whole collection of them. And I'm going to start putting them in Christmas cards this year. Every Christmas card I give out, I'm going to put one of those prostitute cards. I'm like, here you go. Call Tiffany. And then send the card off. Oh man, that's gonna be fantastic. Let's see. Do I have any more stories? Do I have any stories from Vegas? I won like about $100, but then I lost it all. I did pretty good on the blackjack machines. I was gonna play the blackjack tables, but I was like everything was moving really fast, and I was just a little intimidated, so I didn't do it. I think next time I go to Vegas, I'm gonna study. Maybe YouTube videos or something of the blackjack tables and just kind of get the hang of it a little bit. But in the moment, it was just moving way too fast, and I just was intimidated by it, so I didn't do it. I sat at the blackjack tables, though, and it's funny because not the blackjack table, I'm sorry, the blackjack, like, video card machine. And it's funny because the first night, or Friday night, I guess, because we got there Thursday, and then we were there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, we went home Sunday. But Friday night, I couldn't get any drinks because you sit in the casino, you're playing the stupid games, and then the waitresses come over and they give you drinks and blah, blah, blah. And I got like one freaking drink, and I was so upset about it. And then my cousin's husband, who is a Marine or an ex-Marine or whatever, I'm like, oh, I guess I have to be younger, better looking, and a Marine. That's fine. And he's like, no, just give her $5. When she comes by the first time, you're $5, and she'll take care of you the whole night. And I'm like, what, really? And so she came over the next night, Saturday night. We're in where are we at? We're at Planet Hollywood. No, we were at the Monte Carlo. We were at the hotel they were staying at, my cousin and her husband. So we were at the Monte Carlo, and I was just like, you know what? I told my girlfriend, you know what? I'm just gonna park my butt right here at the blackjack table, the blackjack machine, not the blackjack table, the blackjack machine. Just play blackjack, cause I feel like the slot machines are very mindless. Like, oh, button, and like, you know, and you can lose your money so fast. Just play, button. But I feel like the blackjack machine is a little more thinking involved. Like, I don't play poker. I'm not really good at poker, so I didn't play the poker. I guess I could have made more money off the poker. My aunt made some money. Well, she kind of lost money, and then she made money, so she kind of broke even. But hey, that's what I wanted to do. But anyways, so I'm at the blackjack machine, And she comes over, the waitress comes over, and I'm ordered, you know, two drinks, one for me and one for my girlfriend. And she came back with her drinks, and I gave her $5. And then we're sitting there drinking, and then she comes over, boom, right there, right on the corner. Cocktails? Oh, yeah, can we get another Long Island? Yeah, another, a couple of another Long Islands. So she comes over, boom, give her $3. So then my cousin comes over. He's like, oh, man, I just won a bunch of money on Wheel of Fortune. He won a bunch of money, too, but he ended up losing it all. He came over. He showed me a claim ticket for $130 that he won off of 20. And he's like, oh, yeah, I won this off Wheel of Fortune. So we're like, oh, sweet. So me and my girlfriend went over to Wheel of Fortune. And we're like, oh, my girlfriend's like, oh, show us the machine. So we went over there, and we started playing Wheel of Fortune. He, in a matter of 20 minutes, half an hour, he took $130 down to, like, 10. Like, seriously, that's what these people do to you. They build you up, and they just tear the carpet out from under you. It's absolutely nuts. It's absolutely crazy. That's what happens. That's what happens in Vegas. You know, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And when they say that, they mean your freaking money, your winnings, the money you brought with you, the money in your bank account. It all stays in Vegas. I'm just lucky that we started plane tickets to get home, you know. So anyways, we were at the Wheel of Fortune machine. We're losing. And then all of a sudden, the same lady, cocktails, boom, she found me because I gave her $5 and she was taking care of me. So if you guys ever go to Vegas and you're sitting in the casinos and you want, you know, you're going to be in the same section or whatever. I you know what? Honestly, when we were getting ready to go to Wheel of Fortune and I was getting my second round of drinks, I told my girlfriend I was in a stiffer. I'm in a stiffer, dude. We're going to leave the area. And she goes, no, don't do that, because then what happens if we, you know, we end up back in her area and she recognizes us? She recognizes us. I'm like, oh, that's true. So I didn't stiffer. And I gave her the three. And then she found us again, like I said, at the Wheel of Fortune machines. She found us again. And she's like, boom, out of nowhere. She like, poof, out of nowhere. She's like, cocktails? Hell yeah, cocktails. I didn't even finish my last cocktail yet, but I want another one. And so we drank, like, three Long Islands. And, you know, the ones that the waitresses bring you, they're a little bit watered down because they're free. So a little bit watered down. But then I went to the bar because it was a bunch of us. It was me, my girlfriend, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my other cousin, her husband, and then another couple that my aunt and uncle knows. And we're like, oh, Saturday night, last night in Vegas, hell yeah, let's have a round. And so I got into the Long Island, and this time I got it from the bar, though, so I was like, whoa, this is strong. And so then I drank that, right? And then it was time to meet up with a well-known comic, this comedian that I know from the Bay Area who happened to also be in Vegas. And so I text him, like, dude, where you at? He's like, oh, I'm at the Wynn. And I'm like, oh, man, that's hella far. Okay, well, we're going to go back to our hotel, you know, change or whatever. And then I had more alcohol at the hotel, so I had to go back and drink more. And then we met up with him like an hour later. And so we went back to the hotel. My cousin checked us all into our flights. I drank more, and my girlfriend like laid down for like an hour because we got up early, man. We were getting up early and drinking like since 11 o'clock in the morning, and at this point it's like midnight, 12:30, whatever. And we're drinking since like Friday we started drinking at 11 in the morning. I think Saturday we started drinking like around 12 or 1. So then we met up with a well-known comic at Planet Hollywood, and then we left Planet Hollywood. We went next door to Paris, and apparently at Paris was a cab place. So then we got a cab, and we took the cab from Paris to my friend's bar, which is off the strip, but it's behind the Stratosphere, right? So it ended up being like $16 because apparently he had more people in his car than he was legally allowed to, but he still wanted the fare. And so he like went the back way so he wouldn't see any cops. And it was like $16 to get there. But then comic, my friend, one on comic, he's like, oh, let me pay for the cab. I'm like, you sure, dog? He's like, yeah, let me get it. I was like, all right. And then he even bought the first round. I'm like, no, let me get the first round. He's like, hey, I want a little bit of money in Paris or Planet Hollywood. Just let me get the first round. I'm like, okay, bro, if you want money and you want to throw it around, I'm down with that. So then my boy's bar, we hung out with him. Big Stevie G. I don't know if you listen to this or not, but shout out anyway. I forgot where I was going with this. We sat there in the bar. We drank till 5 a.m. Daylight savings time happened, so we lost an hour, but still, we drank till 5 a.m. and we had to be up and out of the hotel by 10. So, needless to say, my cousin, who turned 21, got his first hangover because we spent the whole night in the bar drinking. Okay, that's it. That's enough of that. It's 9:31, you guys. I gotta go soon. But there's a heel picture, because you know how everybody's proposing? Johnny Gargano proposed to Candice LeRae, and Joey Ryan proposed to... his girlfriend, whatever her name is. There's a picture on Facebook of Alex Shelley proposing to Candice LeRae. Now that, my friends, is heel heat. Roadblock, there wasn't a lot of exciting stuff to happen at Roadblock. Dean Ambrose and Triple H was the main event. Let's start with that and work our way down. It was a really good match. These guys fought their hearts out. They gave us a good, entertaining, quality match. I knew Dean wasn't going to win, but it looked like he was going to win. He pinned Triple H. He had his foot under the ropes. I don't know when that became a thing, people having their foot under the ropes while they're pinning somebody. But nonetheless, that happened. So the three count didn't count. And then Dean Ambrose slid into the ring, slid into a pedigree. Boom, pedigree in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. Triple H is the winner. Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt ended up being Brock Lesnar versus Luke Harper. He just tossed him around a little bit. German suplex, German suplex, German suplex. 1, 2, 3. Jericho had an amazing promo. He came out and he's like, "Shut your filthy mouth, Toronto. You had your chance to cheer me. But no, you cheered AJ Styles instead." And they started booing him. He's like, "Oh no, they're still going, 'We want Brett. We want Brett. We want Brett.'" And Jericho goes, "You want Brett? You're never going to get him again. I hate you, Toronto. I hate all of you. I have moved away from Canada several years ago. Why? Because I am ashamed of being Canadian." Like, he really went heel on this Canadian crowd. It was one thing Jericho can do. It's cut a heel promo. So, bravo, Chris Jericho. Too bad the promo ended with him fighting Jack Swagger. Sami Zayn beat Stardust. Enzo and Cass lost to The Revival. And I don't know, I guess that's it. Nothing really special about the show. It was a good quality good quality show. It had good quality wrestling matches. But at the end of the day, it was just a glorified house show that Brock and Triple H were on. Oh yeah. I guess somewhere else, at the same time, they're having another house show, and it was AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens in a 30-minute Iron Man match for the Intercontinental title. And it's like, why couldn't you give us an AJ and Owens on March to WrestleMania or Roadblock or whatever it's called? I don't know. Anyways, you guys, I need to get out of here. I need to get this podcast done. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Stevie Breach. It was a lot of fun. Thank you again to Stevie Breach. Follow him on Twitter at Stevie Breach. Follow me on Twitter at PWM Podcast or at Funky Sam Medina. Follow Gorick.net on Twitter at Gorick, and follow yourself on Twitter. And if you follow me on Twitter, I might be so easily inclined to follow you back on Twitter. And if you want to see my pictures of Vegas, follow me on Instagram, Funky Sam Medina. I'm on there. I have all kinds of cool pictures of Vegas. Like, really good pictures. Like, really good pictures. Like, I have this picture of New York, New York from upstairs. And it's just like an overhead view of the casino. It's beautiful. I got some amazing pictures, you guys. So go ahead, check it out, Funky Sam Medina, on Instagram for all my Vegas photographs. I feel like I'm a photographer. Like, I feel like my pictures are, like, amazing and beautiful. So go check them out because they're amazing and beautiful, endorsed by me. All right, you guys, I'm going to get out of here. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the show. I'll see you next week, and we'll talk about WrestleMania.